Bezrat Hashem, welcome to our Likutei Moran Shiur, a joint effort with the Brothers in Torch, the outreach giants in Texas and in Western United States, all of the United States, and together with Emunah Beams over here in Israel. We also try to reach as far as we can, wherever we can. Baruch Hashem, just to tell you how special this group is, the divine direction, divine in our group is mind-boggling. If we would take a book of Likutei Moran, so let's open up Likutei Moran, and pinpoint where it's talking about Shabbat Zechor, pinpoint where it's talking about destructive Amalek, that we're talking about maybe one out of 100,000. Okay, and here we are on exactly tonight's Shi'ur, without planning ahead of time. We're in Torah 6, our sixth lesson. We're going to talk about the destruction of Amalek, and it's exactly the subject of this Shabbat Zechor. Okay, so last week we learned, we're now in Torah 6. Look, Likutei Moran, first part, Torah 6, part 6. But don't worry, you can always go back and see on the Torch podcast. You can hear the previous lessons on laserbeams.com. You could go and look at Likutei Moran and see all the lists of Likutei Moran. And they're even available on YouTube. Okay, on the Laser Brody YouTube channel. Okay, so you can go back and catch up. But each lesson, we build them as a separate module. And you don't have to worry, because we give an introduction to what we did last week. So last week, we learned that the true spiritual leaders of our people, how do they attain their greatness? It's not by democratic elections. It's despite their prodigious wisdom, they are so very humble. It's done by humility. And so this week, we ask ourselves a question. We're commanded to obliterate the name of Amalek. And that's what exactly the Shabbat is. We read Parshat Zechor. Zechor at asher asah lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Have to understand who Amalek, in case you don't know who Amalek is, A-M-A-L-E-K. Amalek is the grandson of Esau. Amalek is the archetype of evil. Amalek is the arch enemy of all times of Israel. Not only, we're not talking about a physical enemy. It's a physical enemy also. He wants to kill all of Israel. But he is our spiritual enemy. Amalek fights against Emunah. Everything Emunah stands for, Amalek stands for the opposite. Amalek stands for agnosticism, atheism, the might of my right hand. Everything that the Torah preached, everything that we believe in the Torah, not only in the 613 mitzvahs, but together in the 7 Noahide mitzvahs, Amalek holds the opposite. Okay, there's an Amalek Noahide also that tries to deny everyone in the big 7. So it's really the mitzvah of Amalek, even though it's not one of the 7 Noahide mitzvahs. It's you got to obliterate it. If we want to be close to Hashem, and Emunah is a mitzvah for us all, then we have to wipe out Amalek, because Amalek's a spiritual enemy. So how can we finally wipe out Amalek? Israel has a secret weapon. I gave you an introduction to the letter Aleph 2 weeks ago. And we're going to get deeper into the letter Aleph now. This is talking about one letter. We're talking about one letter of Torah. People don't understand. What are all those yeshiva boys learning Torah for? That can't be protection of Israel. You see, learning one letter, if one letter can destroy Amalek, imagine what the whole Torah could do, and being occupied with the whole all of Torah. Just to tell about Amalek, the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1967, where did the Chabad Hasidim start putting on tefillin? There is a passage in Torah, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha V'Yirum Mimcha. If the name of Hashem is upon you, then your enemies will fear you. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that day, wait a second, how is the name of Hashem going to be upon you? It's going to be put on tefillin. And then the light of Hashem from all the names of Hashem that are in the scrolls inside the tefillin. And nobody ever thought that Israel would be thrown into the sea. And this is miraculous victory. Our victories are not from military might. And as soon as the government thought they're from military might, we've seen ever since the Six-Day War, there has not only been a decisive victory for Israel, but Israel's been in some tight situations. There was the Yom Kippur War in 1973. We almost lost everything. And it's not simple. So we see the war is spiritual. And we'll see the power of the letter Aleph. Okay, if you're following along in Likutei Moran, whether in the Hebrew, whether in the English, we are now in first part Likutei Moran, Torah Vav, that's Discourse 6, and the small letter 7, Ot Zayin. And Rabbeinu says, "Vezeh pirush." Until in Manzayin yedaber amim tachtenu lumim tachat raglenu yifchal lano et nachlatenu et Gaon Yaakov asher ahev sela. Rabbeinu is introducing us to the intermediate. How to get to the Amalek? This is our intel. This is our spiritual intel. And Rabbeinu Reb Nachman, he takes King David and quotes Psalm 47. What is 47? What's King David's message? King David is talking about Hashem. King David, as much as a mighty warrior he was, he knew he didn't win the wars. Hashem won the wars. King David says in Psalm 47, we're talking about verses 4 to 5, Hashem subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves forever. So what are we talking about? What does he mean when he subdues people under us? Now let's go back to our Aleph. Okay. Rabbi Nachman says, Ze prinat chirek, nekudat tachtona shel Aleph. Ze prinat tachat raglenu, prinat haaretz hadom ragli. Oh, Rabbeinu says that what he's the Aleph is indicating the bottom letter of the Aleph, here we had to bring up our Aleph chart again. Okay, bring up our Aleph chart. We're going to find this. We're going to use this a lot tonight. This is the letter Aleph, the Hebrew letter Aleph. This is the bottom yud of the Aleph. The Aleph is made of a yud and a top yud and a vav that connects them both. And when you see what all this means, now the bottom yud is indicative of what King David says in Psalm 47. He subdues people under us. This is under the bottom yud. It talks about this world. The chirik, it means it brings in divine light down to this world. When the divine light of holiness comes down to this world, then the enemies of Israel are subdued. And this is what also Rabbi Nachman has another explained, that when Hashem says, Ha'aretz hadom ragli, the Hashem says, the earth is my footstool. So this is the bottom letter of the Aleph. Aleph is a play on words in Hebrew, Alufo Shalom, the champion of the world, that's Hashem. And so this is where this is all imagery. If we could imagine Hashem as the letter Aleph, because he's Alufo Shalom, he's champion of the world, that this is bottom foot and it's on the earth and it's his footstool. So Rabbi Nachman is showing us that bringing the light, this is the bottom letter of Aleph, it brings the light of Hashem. Now, the light of Hashem is, if you can imagine nuclear power can illuminate the world and it can destroy the world. The light of Hashem is zillions and zillions and trillions and quadrillions times stronger than nuclear power. And this is why Hashem has to constrict his light, has to constrict what's called Tzimtzum in Kabbalah, has to constrict the light. Otherwise, we'd all be, we'd be fried. We'd cease to exist. We could not exist unless Hashem constricted his light. Okay, so this is what it means. We're going to see a lot more of our Aleph. We're going to learn all about the Aleph tonight. One second there. The Yetzer Hara wants to broom my Aleph off the table. Got to win. It's as if we have experienced sound and light show for the Yetzer Hara, but we're going to get him back. Okay, so the bottom letter, the bottom part of the Aleph refers to Hashem's footstool in this world. Now Rabbi Nachman says, he continues on to explain the verse 4 and 5 in Psalm 47, Yivchal lanu nachlatenu, ze prinat Moshe. When Hashem says, I'll continue in Hebrew, then I'll go back to English. Prinat nekuda eliona shal prinat me'alakia, demut kise v'kise k'shemesh, pnei Moshe k'pnei chama, k'mama chachmenu zal. Reb Shimon Oimel Nachla ze Shilo do Moshe. Okay, so what is the second part of the passage say in Psalm 47? Hashem chooses our heritage for us. What does that mean? I choose our heritage for us. What's our heritage? It's oil mines in Texas, a cattle farm in Missouri. No, our heritage is Hashem. Our heritage, Hashem chooses our heritage. Our heritage is Hashem. And this is what Rabbi Nachman says. This is the upper point of the Aleph, the upper letter of the Aleph. That's here. Okay, this is our heritage because this indicates Hashem. This is above the Vav. We'll see later that the Vav is horizon and it separates between the lower world, the physical world, and the spiritual world. But the top, the corresponding point at the top of the top part of the Aleph, that is above our standing. That takes us to the Kabbalic sphere of Keter, which is the highest sphere, the highest of the 10 spheres, and it's beyond our understanding. But this is our heritage. We have a heritage by way of Emuna. We all have a part in Hashem. And Hashem belongs to us. We belong to Hashem. And that's what we will say also. Rabbi Nachman brought this in an earlier lesson. King Solomon alluded to it in Song of Songs when he said, Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. And that means we are Hashem. We belong to Hashem because we're the people that seek Hashem. If you're an Amunah seeker, then you seek Hashem. You're one of Hashem's people. And we have Hashem with us. So we are to Hashem, and Hashem is to us. This is the influence from this world up. We have the ability of learning Amunah and learning Torah and observing our commandments. We bring a good influence, a spiritual influence to the upper worlds. And the upper worlds, of course, bring a spiritual influence down to us. It's a two-way street. This is the indication, the imagery of Jacob's ladder. In Jacob's ladder, when there were angels going up and angels going down, that the influence going up and the influence going down. This all is so deep. It's like layers of onion. Take one peel, one layer, one layer. One. Rabbi Nachman's teachings are so very deep. And that's why we go slow. You can't run through them. Can't run through them, properly understand them. So also above the upper hand of the Aleph, the upper yud of the Aleph, that's an indication of Moses. We will soon see that the lower hand of the Aleph is an indication of Joshua, Moses' Talmud, Moses' student. So we have this relationship between the rabbi and the disciple, the student, because the rabbi uplifts the student. The student is down below the horizon. The rabbi is above the horizon, and the rabbi uplifts the student to, he gets to a level there. How to do this is they're separated by the horizon, and this is, the rabbi is like the sun, because he shines light of spirituality on the student who is like the moon. And this is what the Zohar tells us, that Moses is the sun and Joshua is the moon. Rabbi Nachman taught. So we have our heritage. This is what our sages taught. Our sages say in the Gemara that the face of Moses was like the face of the sun. Why the face of the sun? Because of his spiritual illumination. And you saw his light. It's just like, how do you understand this? You go out on a hot summer day in a clear blue sky, you're going to get a suntan. You see the light of a sun that influences you, and it browns your skin, making your skin. Well, if the light of the sun can do that, and Hashem's light is so many zillions times stronger, it is going to illuminate your soul. And it's going to put a big smile on your face. And it's going to put gladness in your heart and put happiness in your life. And people are looking for all types, and they're looking for happiness all in the wrong places. You can't find happiness anywhere but outside of Hashem. So everything else is nothing but a temporary cheap thrill. Okay, you go, you spend 150 quid, $200 for a box seat to your favorite sports game or whatnot, and your team loses, you're even worse shape. Okay, you go to a restaurant, you didn't like the food, you're in worse shape. There's no joy, no lasting joy other than Hashem. Okay, you have a child you love, which what could be no good to you? That child misbehaves, and you have grief from the child. Grief from the child you don't have from anybody else. The really only true lasting joy we have is from the Almighty. Okay, and the Almighty, he calls it Gon Yaakov, Zevav Shebetoch Alev, Zev Chinat Oel, Chinat O, Shemoshe Meir LeYoshua, Kamosh Ketuv, Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. Now that Rabbi Nachman told us what the lower Aleph is, that he told us what the upper hand of the Aleph is, he now tells us what the connecting Vav is. He says the connecting Vav, this is the pride of Jacob. Well, this is the pride of Jacob alludes to the middle Vav, that it is the, it's written, but Jacob was a man of perfection who remained in the tents. And this is like a tent that is over the head of Joshua and under the feet of Moses. Okay, so we continue on and learn, what do these three aspects mean? What these three aspects? Okay, first of all, once again, let's see what we learned up to now. The lower yud of the Aleph, that's Joshua. The upper yud of the Aleph is Moses. And the middle is the horizon that separates between the upper world and lower world. So the teacher is in the upper world. He's bringing down the knowledge of the upper world to the student who is in lower world. And that way they become one because they're connected. And once they're one, they're connected. Then this is really Joshua, when he became the leader after Moses' death, Joshua had the same power as Moses because they're connected. They're all one. They're all one. How do we know they're all one? The numerical value of Aleph is one. And it's also indication of Hashem, who is one. It all comes back. It's very simple, very deep, but it's very, very simple. Okay, so now we continue on. We continue on. Now, where's Amalek? We haven't seen Amalek yet. Okay, hold on. Rabbi Nachman continues. Rabbi Nachman says, Zebchinat, let's read the whole thing in Hebrew, and then instead of chop it and explain the whole thing in English. Zebchinat, Shlosha Dvarim Shnitztavu Yisrael, Shechalu Zau Shlamalek, Zebchinat Yedaber Amim Tachtenu, Ulamanot Lehem Melech, Zebchinat Gon Yaakov, V'Derach Kachov Biyaakov, Zebchinat Livnot Lehem Beit Bechira, Zebchinat Moshe, Bchinat Dat, Kamoshim Chachmenu Zal Livrocha, Mishesh Lo Dat, Kiilu Nivne Beit Amigdash Biyamav. Now, Rabbi Nachman is connecting the three commandments that the Jewish people were commanded when they came out of Egypt, and after 40 years in the desert, they come into Israel, and Moses, right before they come into Israel, Moses dies. Joshua is now the leader of the Jewish people, and Hashem commands Joshua three mitzvot. They were about to learn. We learn this in page 20 in the Gemara Tractate Sanhedrin, and Rabbi Yehuda taught. Upon entering the Holy Land, the Jewish people were charged with three mitzvot. Number one, to appoint a king, to kill off the seed of Amalek, and to build a holy temple. Now, I'll allude back to our lesson 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, we learned that there are three aspects of tshuva, three aspects of penitence, that you do tshuva by hearing. When you hear, that's what we say, Shema Yisrael, when we hear the word of Hashem. And this is what this is what Samuel the prophet said to King Saul when King Saul failed to kill the Amalek. He wiped out the whole nation of Amalek, but he didn't fulfill. And we're talking about Samuel 1, chapter 15, where it talks about the war of Amalek with the Israelites, with King Saul. And Hashem commanded King Saul to kill the Amalekites. Well, he did, but he listened to political correctness. You could go on laserbeams.com and see the lesson from today, Purim and political correctness. He listened to political correctness and he didn't kill the king. Oh, maybe get some good intel from him and help us in future wars. When he didn't kill the king, that led to the receding of Amalek. Haman was born because King Saul did not kill the king. We're talking about 10 generations down the road, 500 years after that. After the war of Amalek with King Saul, then was the story of Purim. Okay, so King Shmuel, and when Samuel the prophet, he chastises King Saul. He says, "Why didn't you listen to Hashem?" He said, "I did listen to Hashem." He says, "No, you didn't listen to Hashem. You listened to the political pressure, political correctness." So we see the first part of tshuva is listening to what Hashem tells us and not listening to what other people, not listening to political correctness and not listening to social pressure, listening to Hashem. That's the first aspect. So the mitzvah of appointing a king corresponds to the point of tshuva, which is hearing. And then we have to kill off the seed of Amalek. Hashem says, obliterate the seed of Amalek, where you don't see, wherever you look, you can't see anything of Amalek. You can't even see a donkey or a camel or a mule that belongs to Amalek. Wipe it all out. So the aspect of wiping out Amalek, that's the second command that corresponds to the eyes, which is the second, our sight, which is the second parameter of penitence. We have to correct our hearing and correct our sight. Instead of looking at things we shouldn't be looking at and looking at social media, we should be looking at the book of Psalms and looking at our scripture, looking at our Torah and looking at the laws, what we need to learn. And the third is to build a holy temple. That corresponds to the heart. If you have the sight and you have the hearing, but you don't have the heart, tshuva has to be done sincerely from the heart. A person can't make penitence if it's lip service. Hashem doesn't need lip service. And this is what Samuel the prophet tells King Saul. He says, Hashem doesn't need. He says, why did you save all the Amalek sheep? And Hashem told you to destroy them. And he said, well, look at these beautiful sheep. Amalek was a herdsman. He had what's called the Kedar type of sheep. the Middle East, the best sheep in the world. He says, no, I didn't put them in my pocket. I didn't bring them to my farm. We're going to sacrifice to Hashem. Samuel the prophet says to Saul, we don't need this. Hashem doesn't need those sacrifices. He needs to hear his voice. He needs animals. He needs rivers of sacrifice, sacrificial blood. No, he doesn't need that. He needs you to listen to his voice. Listening to Hashem's, listening to one commandment has the power of umpteen ritual sacrifices. You have to remember this. So these are the three mitzvahs, and they correspond to three parts of tshuva. Now, the way they correspond to three parts of tshuva, it's just amazing. You see, Rabbi Nachman's Torah is like a mosaic. It's like a million-piece puzzle. All the puzzles come in together. First, you see, he's bringing these unrelated facts, and how do they come together? Well, we just said it corresponds, and these also correspond to the three portions of that Psalm 47. We reminded ourselves, the car said the three things that Israel was commanded to kill off the seed of Amalek, that corresponds to he subdues people under us. The first section of Psalm 47, of verse 4 and verse 5. And then to appoint a king corresponds to the pride of Jacob, because the king, he's the pride of Jacob. He becomes the king. And we also said in Numbers 24 that a star will go forth of Jacob. That's a prophecy that this will be a king that goes forth to the house of Jacob. And then that alludes to the king. And to build the holy temple, that is the aspect of Moses. And that Moses, he is the sphere of Da'at. That's the holy knowledge, divine knowledge that sages told. When someone has, what do our sages say? In the Gemara Tractate Brachos, page 33, it says, if someone has da'as, if someone has divine knowledge, someone has learned and is privileged divine knowledge, it's as if he built the holy temple in his lifetime. So the way we build the holy temple is we put aside all types of non-consequential endeavors and learn Torah. And then we get, by learning Torah, we get divine knowledge. And by divine knowledge, we get das. We get this divine knowledge, this divine insight. And this is like building the temple. This is what each of us could do with our own power to build a holy temple. Okay, so that is, he chooses our heritage for us. So now, that's the end of letter Zion. We go now to letter Chet. And Rabbi Natan makes a mention that Migsiman Da'alad Kan Lashon Rabbeinu. What we just learned, most of Likutei Moran was written down by Rabbi Nathan of Breslev, Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Nachman's prime disciple. But Rabbi Natan is making a footnote here that says what we just now learned, this was not my writing. This was right out of Rabbi Nachman's mouth. Right out of Rabbi Nachman, you have to remember, he's got the whole Torah on his fingertips. And it just spills forth. Okay, so we continue on. So now we can understand what our original passage in Torah Vav, Vayoma Hashem Moshe Kal Yeshua. This is what Hashem commanded to Moses right before his death. Hashem said to Moses that the time is coming for you to depart the physical world. Been decreed, you're not allowed to take the people into the land of Israel. It's time for them to go in the land of Israel. Moses, you're coming up with me, and you're finishing your career in the physical world, and you're now handing the baton over to Joshua. Okay, so this is Kra'el Yeshua, says the Torah, summon Yehoshua and present yourselves in the meeting tent, Oel Moed, where I will appoint him. In other words, how come Moses should appoint Amalek? Hashem says, no, you're going to come to the Holy Tabernacle, come inside the Holy of Holies, you come inside the Holy Tabernacle, and Hashem says, I will appoint Amalek. How does Hashem appoint Amalek? It puts his divine illumination. It's amazing. This is a divine ordination. Joshua got a divine ordination. Not even Moses put two hands on him. Moses gave an ordination, but his ultimate ordination was inside the Mishkan, inside the Holy Tabernacle, where Hashem put his ordination on Joshua. And that's called Siyata Tishmai. That's the help of Hashem. So you ask, why didn't Moses do it? Okay, because King Solomon says in Proverbs that there is no government on the day of one's death. In other words, someone's a big leader, the day they die, he's not a leader. So this is the same day, this is the 7th of Adar, It was earlier this month. This is the 7th of Adar, a few days ago. And this is the same day Moses died. This is the same day that Moses died that Joshua takes the rule. Okay, so Hashem says, summon Yehoshua. And what does Sem mean by summon Yehoshua? When Hashem tells Moses, summon Yehoshua, he says, Moses, you make the letter Aleph 1 because this can destroy Amalek. You are Moses up here. This is the connection between you, the light of holiness. This is the Vav. This is the light of holiness. This is Joshua. Give the light to Joshua, and I'm going to put my hands on it. And then the Aleph becomes one. The Aleph becomes unified. In other words, Joshua down here now becomes Moses up here. They're all one. They're all one. They're on top, they're bottom. And what this does, this is what happens when we have the Holy Temple. We have the Holy Temple. The upper world and the lower world are connected by the Holy Temple. This is, it's so beautiful. This is all indicated in our Aleph right here. So he says, hityatzvu ba'oil. So what do you mean oil? We said the oil is the tent. The oil is the tent meeting, the meeting of the tent meeting, which is the main part of the tabernacle. And we said the Vav is the horizon. It's all indicative of the tent. So this is indicative of the Holy Temple, where Moses and Joshua will meet, where the upper world and the lower world will meet. And in such a place of holiness, Amalek is wiped out. Amalek is wiped out. When we bring the holiness from the upper world down to the bottom world, Amalek can't stand the holiness. This is the only way to destroy Amalek by way of holiness. Can you imagine? It used to be, you know, they had, I remember as a little kid, there were Superman movies when I was a little kid in America. Okay. And Superman, nothing in the world could destroy Superman, only Krypton. There was this planet that had this magic rock called Krypton, and Superman would lose his power with Krypton. Now, this is Amalek. The only thing that can destroy Amalek is the light of holiness. Oh, and then he chokes. Amalek can have, Amalek can be together, the eight axes of evil, Amalek together, the Iranian army with the Russian army, with the North Korean army, with the Chinese army, the Red Chinese army, with all the Arab armies, and they've got all these nuclear weapons, and one little drop of holiness, one leak, it destroys all of them. This is what the Lubavitch Rebbe told us. He said that a little bit of light can destroy a lot of darkness. This is the destruction of Amalek. Okay, this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is the Zohar. Rabbi Nachman is drawing on the Zohar. Rabbi Nachman is drawing on Kabbalah de Arizal. Rabbi Nachman is bringing all this knowledge down to us and lightning. I wish that the Department of Defense of the State of Israel and the Defense Committee, the Chief Defense Committee, would listen tonight's shiur, because maybe they would change the war strategy. And maybe they would speak different about the boys that are learning Torah. Okay, but this is the destruction of Amalek. There is no other destruction of Amalek. Again, what our sages tell us, that you can't chase darkness away with a stick. You have to light a light. And this is the way to chase Amalek light. We have to light the light of holiness. Okay, so Hashem says to Moses, summon Yehoshua. And that's summon Yehoshua means, I bring you Moses, you're the upper point. Yehoshua is the lower point of the Aleph. Summon. Okay, and the summon Yehoshua and bring them together. V'yitzvu ba'oil, and you present yourselves in the tent of meeting. That alludes to the firmament, and now they're coming in one. V'atzavenu, and Hashem says, I will command them. Well, I will appoint him. Hashem personally is going to make the appointment, because it was necessary to hand everything over to you, to Joshua. Moses already did that. Hashem commanded him, said, he said, place your hand on him and ordain him. Moses did double. He placed two hands on him and ordained him, give everything he had. He held nothing back, but there is one thing left. What King Solomon tells us in chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes, that there's no authority on the day of death. So this is the day of death. Moses doesn't have any authority. So now Hashem says, okay, Moses, I cannot, Hashem, this is Hashem's law. I can't take you away and give you authority. So since I've taken you away and Israel must cross over the Jordan, again, a big miracle, they would cross over the Jordan and go into the land of Israel, that I personally have to join Jacob. This is why Hashem pulled them in to the meeting tent of the Holy Tabernacle. Okay, for the time that when it's Tzaddik, the day that Tzaddik passes away, he doesn't have the authority. So this is the one time in history where Hashem personally endured. There wasn't one time. It was later, Hashem personally told Samuel, right? Hashem personally anointed King David, but Samuel poured the oil. Sam did the physical. Here, Hashem did the actual, there's no physical aspect of Hashem, but inside, inside the Holy Tabernacle, Hashem appointed him. Rabbi Nachman sums things up. He says, Klal kol ayan kolul betunat aleph, shenekuda alyona nekuda tachtona mevav. So Rabbi Nachman, once again, let's bring our aleph back. Rabbi Nachman says, all the mitzvahs of coming in to the land of Israel, the destruction of Amalek, and building the holy temple, and appointing a king, it's all here in the aleph. And this is the whole secret of the aleph. It's all encompassed in the aleph, which contains, once again, of an upper point, a yud, a bottom point, another yud, and a body that's called a vav. Now look at this. With gematria, which is the system of numeric value of the letters of the Torah, and there's so many secrets of Torah. If we said that aleph is alufo shalom, it's the champion of the world, it's Hashem. Okay. A yud, which is the top letter, that's a 10. Another yud is a 20, a vav is 6, together 26, yud k, vav k. The aleph is a picture of Hashem's name. Okay, if you look at it, look at the parts of aleph, that picture of Hashem's name, this is the unity of Hashem. And this is also connected, once again, to what our sages told us, that Jewish people that were ordered to obey three mitzvot, fulfill three commandments, they come in, once again, to kill off the seed of Amalek. That's what we're talking about this week, right before Purim. And this is Shabbat Zachor. It's amazing. I'm amazed once again at the divine intervention in our group here, sure, for all the things that here we are talking right before Shabbat Zachor, exactly at this point. And once again, it was not planned. Okay, to kill off the seed of Amalek and to build a holy temple, I pray, just like we're timely on the seed of Amalek, that we should be soon build the holy temple. That should be timely also. And to appoint a king, pray for that also, Malchut Beit David, that the Sion of David, King David, should come, Amen. So now, Rabbi Nachman says, specifically talking about Amalek, Lachid zarosh l'amalek zebchinat Yoshua, nekuda tachtona, ki ikar mechiyat Amalek tlui b'Yoshua, kamo shekatuv, tzei lechem ba'amalek, kemuval b'zohar. Killing off the seed of Amalek is an aspect of Yoshua, the lower point of the Aleph, because that's the war down here in this world. There's a similar war going up in the upper world, because Amalek, he has his administering angel. You know who Amalek's administering angel is? In Hebrew, it's spelled, again, I don't say it because we don't say the names of angels, especially not evil angels, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That is the, in English, you call him S-A-T-A-N. That is Amalek's angel. And that's an accusing angel. Yeah, he's an angel. He does Hashem. His purpose is to tempt people. And he's the opposition on the field, the opposition to the holiness. But when we're ready for the holy temple and we're ready, our emunah is perfect, then just like Haman, he will be slaughtered. After that, so we said Amalek is a grandson of Esau. Amalek's 10th generation grandson was Agag, the king of Amalek in the time of King Saul, and his 10th generation great-grandson was Haman. And the Gemara in Tractate Megillah tells us prophetically that there's going to come out of Amalek another nation called Germany. Tractate Megillah, page 8, Gemam Yishal Edom. The Gemara says, it's a matter of fact, we've written a Gemara from 1900 years ago, 1850 years ago, right there. So Hitler was a descendant of Haman. And it's the same thing. This, in every generation, when we say on Passover, every generation, they rise up against us to exterminate us. This is this Amalek. Until we exterminate Amalek, he always pops right up. And right now, he happens to be in the Hamas in Iran. But not only Hamas in Iran. Not only Hamas in Iran, there's some people, Amalek, he also wears Botany 500 suits and blue ties, and he lives in fancy places like 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Then there's Amalek lives in a lot of fancy places, and it's the same thing. He doesn't have to be in a tunnel in Gaza. There's Amalek, a tunnel in Gaza, but Amalek is also, we see this is all Amalek. And this is a mistake we could see if we only see our government only follow this. Instead of what they're actually doing, they're being, what are they doing? Every time they take the advice of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, it gives another lease on life to Haman's great-grandchildren, Hamas. Okay, if we wouldn't listen to them, they would have been destroyed 6 weeks. The war would be over in 6 weeks. But now humanitarian aid, excuse me, Uncle Sam, where was humanitarian aid to the Japanese in Hiroshima? Did see that. Where was humanitarian aid to Dunkirk and Germany to the Germans? We didn't see that. Oh, but we're under threat of extermination. And if you don't feel it, come join us in the south of Israel. See what it's like in the first couple weeks of the war. And still going on, still to now. Just we have that yesterday, Eilat was bombed from Yemen. Why don't anybody in Yemen? This is the threat. As long as we wipe out, not talking about Pollock, we're talking about this week, Mike Amalek. As long as we do not totally exterminate Amalek, Amalek pops back up, pops back up, pops back up. And like a cancer, if an oncologist surgeon doesn't take it, remove it completely, and leaves some of those tentacles inside the body, comes back much, much worse. And now you see Amalek, Amalek's taken over the academic system in the United States and the U.S. campuses and the campuses in UK and the campuses in Europe. It's all there, where a Jew is afraid to walk on campus. This is Amalek. You have to understand who Amalek is. Amalek is the arch enemy of all generations. And people, what do people do? Rather than making tshuva coming to Hashem, they want to be politically correct with Amalek. Well, they've been there and done that. There was a group of leaders in Germany called the Judenrat that they thought if they cooperated with the Nazis, they'd be fine. So they gave the Nazis lists of Jews and lived in villages in the Ukraine and in Russia, because the Nazis didn't know who was Jewish and who was not. It was the leaders that bowed down to them. We're politically correct with Amalek. You're not politically correct with Amalek. Amalek wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you away from Hashem. He wants to destroy worse than the body. A body, it's no big deal if it's destroyed because a soul can come back. But Amalek wants to destroy the soul. He wants to destroy the soul by taking the soul away from Hashem. Heaven forbid, heaven forbid. We're not going to let that happen. We've got we're actively, if you're fortunate enough to participate in tonight's lesson, you're participating, you're doing your thing, you're participating in the war against Amalek. That's what Hashem doesn't want to take up a tank or an artillery piece or F-15. No, this is the war of Amalek. This is the war of Amalek. Strengthen ourselves in Amunah, strengthen ourselves in the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman says how to do it. He tells exactly how to do it. So, Lachin Zahol Shel Amalek B'chinat Yoshua. He tells us that to blot out Amalek, it depends on Joshua, because Moses said to Joshua, we learned this in chapter 17 of Exodus, verse 9, Moses says to Joshua, pick some men for us and go out and fight Amalek. Go out and fight Amalek. And he went out and fought Amalek. Okay. Now, leave note, the second mitzvah, to build the holy temple, that's an aspect of Moses, the upper step. Okay, so we said the bottom, this is destroying Amalek, and that's Joshua. This is Moses and building the holy temple. So Rabbi Nachman says the building of the temple, the upper point of the Aleph, the upper point of the Aleph, because when someone has knowledge, that's the upper point of the Aleph, the points to get there, points to the knowledge. It's like building the holy temple. And so Moses is the aspect of knowledge. He is the epitome of divine knowledge. No one had more divine knowledge than Moses. Moses learned three times for 40 days and 40 nights. It was Hashem was his learning partner. Okay, so nobody had more than Moses. And now, Limnot Melech, Limnot Melech, Zebchinat Rakia, the Drach Kachov Meyakov, Shkal Yakum Melech Meyakov. Appointing a king is the aspect of the firmament that separates between the upper world and the lower world. And that is appointing a king, because that's a star shall go forth with Yaakov. And Yaakov indicates the firmament. And this is what connects the upper yud and the bottom yud and makes the Aleph whole. Ki shalosh mitzvot em prinat shuva, that together these three mitzvahs, when the people of Israel do these three mitzvahs, they destroy Amalek, and they appoint the king, and they build a holy temple. That's tshuva, and when you have tshuva, then all their enemies fall by the wayside. So Rabbi Nachman says, Shlosh mitzvot ele b'chinat tshuva, that these three mitzvot are the aspect of tshuva. Okay, we've now just finished sections 8 and 9. Next week, we go into section 10. Section 10 is a completely, we're going to continue on with the Aleph, something alluded to today, Ani ledodi vedodi li, that I am Hashem and Hashem to my beloved, that I belong to Hashem, Hashem belongs to me. I'm not an independent, we're not independent entities. We're all Hashem. And happy are those of us that are aware of that, that our existence is Hashem. That means I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. When we look at Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm nothing, you're everything, then Hashem looks at us and he says, no, you're not nothing. You're my favorite daughter. You're my favorite son. Well, Hashem, how can you have 6 billion favorite sons and favorite daughters? No, it doesn't matter. You can have 20 kids and you love each one of them. And Hashem's divine love is much, much more than physical love. And he loves each one of us. That's it. So next week, we're going to go into a completely different thing, Elul. And I don't want to begin something new and then lock it off after a few minutes. So what we're going to do is we'll give blessings to everybody very quickly. And if you have a question, we have time to answer a question.